Oder auf der Line. Tonight, Ajahn Jeffrey asked me to give a Dharma talk. So, sit and meditate. Now, most of the time when we meditate, we will discover that we have this wandering state of mind that keep dragging us externally outside of this body of ours. And because of this, it is very important that we should establish an anchor point back to your body. And that's your breath. Right? And for certain people, they find that breathing is quite difficult for them. Why? Because their mind state is in a very chaotic situations. So, they find it very stressful, they find it very, very hopeless in meditations. And every time they meditate, it's only wandering mind, pains, ache here, ache there. And that really drives people away. And there are many techniques. And one of the mostly used by our traditions, Long Pu Man tradition, is Putto. Putto. Either you can use Putto, which is a form of mental repetitions, Putto, 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 Putto. This is one method. The other one is when you breathe in, put, when you breathe out, to, right? Or you can don't use putto if those people find that you're very established. You know, you don't need all these basic techniques. Why we have to touch on all these basic techniques? Because not everyone are born the same. You see, we come from different background. We have different kinds of experiences in our life. So our mind state also likewise the same. So we have to adopt different kinds of techniques or way of approach in how to calm our mind down. Like when I was in the forest, I used to meditate very well. When I was in the, you know, well taken care kinds of environments, I don't have to worry about my food, my lodging. All the four requisites has been taken care of. So we don't have to worry. So we can meditate very, very nice. Now, we want to make a test whether our mind can be put to test. So we went to the forest. And we find that it's totally different. The mind is like lost in the forest. Why I say that? Because those thoughts that we never think before start to arise within us. The fear of not getting enough food, the fear of not having a nice lodging, not enough blankets, and all sorts of fear. It's just that any other ordinary human beings worries. And here we are, meditators. We thought that we can meditate so well. But when we are put to in the situation of tests, then we can really see that, we have far to go. Why we can't handle this mental state? And why are we so attached? And this is what we call, we got to practice endurance. We got to practice what we call skillful way of adopting different techniques into calming our mind down. And it takes months. Why? It takes months because we are not going to give in easily. Because this mind state of ours has been all this while subject to attachment to comfort. So when we put ourselves in a very, very challenging situations, you will find your mind will start to worries, fear. And this is where mindfulness comes in. This is where your daily practices comes in. How are you going to handle the situations? Right. That's why coming back to the body is very, very crucial, very, very important. Because when the mind state starts to get bewildered, all sorts of things can happen. You start to imagine, you know, lots of things. It's just a crazy guy, as crazy as a forest, so wild. You are lost. You are lost into your pools of thoughts. And you don't know where to anchor yourself. That's why when we are ordained, our upachaya tell us to contemplate on kesa, the head of the head, the head of the body, your nails, your teeth, your skin, and the reverse manners of contemplations. Your skin, your teeth, your nails, head of the body, head of the head. When we are able to anchor and focus back to the body, when the mindfulness is immersed into your body, then you can see the contrast of a mind that is fully focused in this body of yours than a mind that doesn't have mindfulness to take charge and will be dragged away by all these, what we call, distracting thoughts, fears, worry. So this is what we classify as nirvana or hindrances when we practice meditations. This is only one of the hindrances. That's why we keep advising people throughout our whole day, you know, don't wash the mind, wash your body, wash the movement of the body. Why? Because you need to establish a very strong foundation of mindfulness in your body. Because if you can focus onto your own body, your mind is in the present at the same time. So don't be mistaken that, if I focus on this body, then I'm not focusing on my mind. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be mistaken. Don't get the message wrong. In the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundations of mindfulness, the first one is what? Body. You see, the Buddha never said, focus on your mind. The Buddha said, back to your body. We need to have an anchor point to focus back onto your body. Right? And if you have been meditating all this while, playing around with your breath, sensations, that means directing your breath throughout the whole body, go ahead. It's healthy. It's something very skillful. You know, you will develop strong foundations of mindfulness. Because why? You are able to contain yourself and bring your mind to a state of concentrations. So how can we know we are in concentrations? How can we know? Right? As we focus, the power of a mindfulness focusing on your breath or on to your body, thought will subside. That means wandering thoughts will start to subside and loses its influence over the mind. When I say it loses its influence, that means it doesn't, there will be still be thought, but the influence of the thoughts loses its influence. It can't drag you out because your mindfulness increases. Right? Until as such, the mind comes to a state of stillness, concentrations. Like we call it Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration. The mind comes to a stop and it starts to think again. The second one, Upachara Samadhi, this is where people will get a lot of nimittas, a lot of visions in their practice of meditations. And the last one is Appana Samadhi, where your mind go to a very strong kind of concentration that, you know, you don't hear noises. Not even the existence of your body. The whole world just disappeared. Just this pure awareness that is present. Right? But this is just a sharing of experiences. Yeah? Not everybody will experience this kind of experience. That's okay. The most important thing is your present awareness, your mindfulness got to be intact. And this is very important. This is the first hurdle we must be able to contain. Because most of the time, we have been playing with our own thoughts. You know, we get carried away by certain thoughts. And we can be into the content of the thoughts for days. A kind of daydreaming or hallucinations, which most of the people, they enjoyed it. But that is not meditations. Right? In meditation, when we know that, my object of focus has been slipped off, we drag it back straight away. There's no time to lose. Until we are that fast, our focus, we are very alert. Our mindfulness is so sharp. The minute we've knew, you know, thought arises, you know, it's very fast. Then, when you are able to gain concentration at will, then you don't worry about watching the mind. Any thought that arises is so sharp. When the mindfulness is in full swing, full strength, then you can see very clearly whatever arises, whatever thing you do, right? Emotions, memories, all kinds of happening. Then you can see what is the cause of my stress, also called suffering, that causes me that the kind of mental state that make us so stressful, so unrest, restless, thinking the whole day. We know that we shouldn't be thinking this way, but we don't know what to do, how to handle this mind state, right? So as we practice along, then you'll be very clear. Because why? We start to question, if the body don't talk, then who talking? The body doesn't know anything. The body reacts under the command of the mind, right? The body doesn't know. It just gives the kind of signals of something like a when you're thirsty, you need water. Huh? Without the body doesn't know, but the symptom of thirstiness, you know that, yeah, the body needs water, the body needs food, the body is cold, it needs warm clothing, it needs coverings, it needs shelter, it needs the heaters, right? Now, who manifests all this thought, if not your own mind? If you don't develop that kind of strong concentrations, that is very hard for us to detect the arising of the thoughts that is causing us, you know, from time immemorial, what we call suffering, what we call wandering thoughts, distracted thought. That's why mindfulness is very, very important, right? And when we know that we have certain problems in our life, there's certain, what we call it, attachments that we are very attached to. Especially a lady to a man to a lady. And what are you attaching to? On what thing, if not on this body? That's why the Buddha keep encouraging us to contemplate onto the body, right? So one of the puttanu sati metanja asupa, that means the impurities of the body or death. This is something a lot of people doesn't want to think about it. They feel so disgusting, so neurotic. They only want to practice meditation, mindfulness of breathing and contemplating or spreading thoughts of goodwill, which is very, very much encouraged. Well, there's nothing wrong. It's good. But our problem within us, right? The kind of what we call it, kamaraka, raga, the kind of urge within your own mind. Who knows? You know better. You know better, right? Now, how are we going to handle this problem? So we need asupa. When we say asupa, you see, there are many ways. So one of the most encouraging that we use to practice is we bisect our whole body. We cut out we cut our ears, drill into the eyes, cut the nose, pull your tongue and cut it, chop out your whole body. Like doing a hamburger or something like that, right? And cut out the ladies, the man cut out the ladies, the lady cut out the man's, cut your own body, and then let it rot. Then cremate it. Keep repeating this process. Make it a routine to repeat it. Why? You will see the complaints from your mind. I don't like it. It's neurotic. It's crazy. Now, why? Who said neurotic? Who said crazy? Now, if it is crazy, then why does the Buddha instructed monks or meditators to contemplate on this subject? Because we human beings, the most attached is this body of ours. If without this body of ours, where are all this sensual pressure coming from? So we need to contemplate into the impurity of the body. If you really want to work into it, then you got to do it. Right, because if not, you can see, why this person out of a sudden left the monkhood or disrobe or go somewhere else. Why? That's the problem there. Right. That's why I say this morning, we are not, all are not arahant unless you develop the skill to really eradicate great hatred and delusion completely from your own mind, then you'll be free. But if not, don't be complacent. Don't think that, nothing can touch you. You see, your own greed, hatred, and delusions will touch you, will move you through your eye contact, through your ear contact, your nose contact. You see, all this contact. You don't need to touch the eye contact. The minute your eye contact, poop, thought arises. You see? When the thought arises, this mind will latch into the thought. Yeah? A beautiful sight. A beautiful sound. Voices. This is where the fire of greed, kamaraka, start to get burn you. It will burn you crispy. Yeah? You get you roasted. And you can't meditate, let me tell you. Even under cold weather, your body is fire. Yeah? This man is on fire. This girl is on fire. You can't deny. This is the truth. So when we are facing, encounter these kind of situations, don't be complex. Straight away, we apply the techniques. The Buddha already tell us the techniques. We just apply it, that's all. We don't have to create a new techniques. Just follow the instruction and do it. And you can see, the minute, the more we do it, the more proficient we are able to focus into this topic of impurity, then we'll see very, very clearly the mind will start to feel a kind of lightness, a kind of release, temporary release. That means you don't get so breathless or stuck up mentally. You start to, there's an elevation of a mind state, lighten up, and you feel, what is that? Don't stop there. Contemplate. Keep drilling in. Keep contemplate. The more you do it, the more you see how so-called our own mind is playing trick. How this mind keep on telling us, should be this, should be that, it's beautiful, it's nice. You know, when you start to cut up on the body of the other sex, opposite sex, sorry, you can see your mind will start to yell at you, don't cut it, you're crazy, you cruel guy, you don't have loving kindness. You can see very clearly how your mind makes story right and there under your own nose. Wow, shit. This is my mind making story. The body of another person doesn't know. And why this mind of mine? I'm just doing this kind of mental exercise. Why? You see, this is how you can detect and drag out this culprit from the mind. And you keep drinking until you can really see the truth, until your mind can accept the truth. Accept that, this is the cause of the problems. This is the cause of suffering within my own mind. And there's a happening, we call it mak samakhi, within our own mind. Every person experience differently, right? But when they describe, the symptom is the same. When they describe how the mind get released from this my state that's causing the kind of suffering, then you say, same. This is the way it is. Right? So, we are here gathering in this hall. Right? Last time, 20 years back, very few monks. 5 or 6 monks, maybe 1 or 2 lay people. 3. You see, And now there's a lot of people who are interested. And it's a good sign. Because why? Because we knew that this is the only way that we can rely on to bring us true happiness of the mind. That we don't rely on external things. Yeah? Material thing. Don't talk about that. Material thing. If we die, we can't bring along. You see? We talk about this body of ours. We're sure to die. And what is there to be afraid of? To contemplate of the impurity or death. If you're saying that you want to know the truth. So what is there to be denials of the truth? Be brave enough to contemplate into the impurity. Be brave enough. A lot of people, they doesn't want to do it. I know. They say, it's crazy. No one will do it. You know? Then you say you want to end your suffering. How to end your suffering? You see? You're such a denier of the truth. Huh? So, this is a kind of talks from the practice. Yeah? Okay. I quote you one example. Yeah? The experiences related to this kind of experiences. Yeah? This kind of incidents. Right? We were practicing impurity of body for more than 6 months. Whole day, whole night. Huh? Whole day, whole night. Like a crazy guy in the forest. And, okay, we went to the city to test it out. Right? Because I got to do my passport. So we got to go to Bangkok. And the minute you enter Bangkok, you see how the mind start to get wild. Get wild doesn't mean think of lady. No. Get wild, that means the eyesight contact. It start to engross, get interested into this sensory glance contact. Yeah? Nice sight, nice voice, good food. And you start to see how the mind start to wobble. Like an earthquake, start to shake. What is happening? Straight away, we instill mindfulness, grounded into the body, straight away, poop, the mind stop. The mind firmly grounded in the present. When the mind is, you know, the feelings of the body, the present feelings of the body in this present, straight away grounded the mind. And no thoughts, just this awareness, watching. Right? Then, there's the eye contact. The minute the eye contact, you see how this defilement went up. Pop. The lady never say anything. The mind start to make story. Wow, beautiful lady. Huh? And the heart start to pump, palpitation. Huh? What is that? So sharp. I say, shit, what is this? So we wash the mind clearly, right and there. Straight away, we apply the technique we used to practice, disassemblate the body. The minute we want to disassemblate the body, don't cut it, you cruel man. You shouldn't cut other people. You hurt people. Hey, who is that? See? Defilement. Defilement inside us. If we never put ourselves into this kind of test, we will never know. We thought that everything is okay, everything is okay. No. When we saw that, straight away we cut the body, burn it, and we cut our own body, burn it. Then you see the mind start to cry, no, cruel guy, cruel guy. And the mind start to withdraw, draw, withdraw, 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 back to your own heart. And fuck! Enter into a state of calmness. It's just like just now was thunderstorm. And now, calm. Everything is so calm. You see, when your mind penetrates into this kind of insight, very deep insight, you know, there's a happening, flip over, the whole world just bursts, boom! What is that? Wow. Huh? So this is the kind of meditation experiences individual will experience, right? And it really gives you the kind of confidence that, yeah, this is the highest kinds of bliss and happiness, you know, that we are able to tackle our own mind state right and there. You see, most of the time we say that, oh, we can watch it, we know it, we know it. Every time I know it, we know it. But when you come to real contact, you are lost. Every time lost to the defilements. That when we're sitting in meditations, when there's pain, straight away, you see, it's habitual. It's habit. You start to move your leg change posture, right? And you never experience the mind going to concentrations because you keep moving the body. Don't move. When there is pain, just watch it. Just tell yourself, never mind. I'm giving myself some time. I want to see whether this pain, can I endure this pain? Will this pain go away? If I'm still breathing, I will endure the pain. Now, there's a tug of war going on here, right? And see who win and who lose. You know better, right? You know better. Every time pain, 1 hour, 45 minutes, you start to, you know, there's an alarm. You want to change your leg. And you 10 years of meditation, same. 20 years, also the same. 30 years, also the same. Why? Because you have been told it's okay. Right? So, my advice, you see, maybe you say that, oh, this Ajahn Keng is a hardcore. He's too hardcore. It's not hardcore. If you want result, you got to sacrifice. No pain, no gain. Right? You got to sacrifice. There's nothing come for free. You got to invest in something. This is something spiritual wealth. We call it spiritual internal of us. Right? We are here. What are we waiting for? Especially when we are monks. We got to really do it when we are young. The more you get older, the more lazier you become. Because why? Your body don't cooperate anymore. You sit longer, you start to have a lot of aches. You walk longer, you start to have aches. But if you are young, you have all the vigor. Yeah? And the kind of environmental support. Yeah? You got good companions, support. You have all this very, very good supporting condition here. Give your best all the way, right? Like they are going for meditating in the forest in Mexico or someplace else. Yeah, it's very encourageable. I'm very happy when I come here, I'm very happy because it is very encouraging to see this kind of practice flourish here in America, right? Everybody get very interested in meditations and it's just like, you know, it's still very, very, what do you call it, tenders, young, yeah? So we got to push harder, don't lax, right? And one more thing about the protocol of our Sangha, what we call that, belongings, right? There's a lot of things we should help each other to take care of certain things lying around, especially things that, you know, cannot be exposed to weather, like rains, you'll spoil. So it's good to, you know, repair those places. And if a person is leaving a place, make sure the heart, all your thing is properly stored, right? Because down here is a avocado orchard, and there are a lot of rats, mice, right? If we don't store our thing properly, we just chuck it anyhow, then it is the abuse of using this, you know, how people will think of us. You know, we are monk. We rely on the support of the kindness of the people. So it's our duty to take care of the property or all the belongings, right? Because I need to touch on this thing. I'm not picking fault, because this is our duty. There are certain things, you know, sometimes, you know, no one informs you all. No one talk about it. When no one's talking about it, doesn't mean it's okay. So as a senior monk, right? As a senior monk, I'm Achan Jeff, student also, right? We are all brothers monk. So it's my duty as a senior monk to remind, right, of the responsibility of our monk's duty, right? So I hope tonight talk will give you some tips. If you think there's neurotics and it's you can leave it here. Should I offend anyone? I seek the forgiveness, because it wasn't a prepared talk, right? It's based on more of a practice of sharings to give encouragements to the practitioners, whether you're lay or ordained, so that you know that, yeah, you have this problem. You got to solve that problem. And I believe, because I was stuck with all these kind of problems, and no one tell us what was our problem. We knew by ourselves. That's all. Because no one reads another person's mind. You see, we better read our own mind. We know our own problem, we solve our own problems. So that'll be the talk for tonight. And continue to meditate until time is up.